we sang a song of amazement, amazement at the grace, electing grace of God. Why have you chosen me? And then yung kamalayan, your love is so bountiful. And then the apt response na sinabi ng ating chorus, your word I will strive to obey. Totoo ba iyon? Kung if there is a word that we seem so diffident or so backward in obeying, like word concerning giving. At sinabi roon, my life I will give. Totoo ba yun? If a small part of what God has given to us in substance, we are not forward to give. Kaya ito ang hamon ng usapin ng pagbibigay. At inuulit-ulit ko lagi na kapag tinatalakay natin ito, hindi ito isang bagay na ating pinagpupukpukan sa pulpitong ito. Naniniwala ako na ito ay usapin sa pagitan ng Diyos at ng kanyang mananamba. At sa pagkatuwid, ikaw ay sasagot sa kanya, hindi sa iglesia, hindi sa pastor. Ngunit, kailangan isaalang-alang natin na tayo ba ay talagang sumusunod ayon sa mga prinsipyo ng pagbibigay. At tinignan natin ito sa usapin ng tithing. And I hope what we have seen last week from the Old Testament, before the Mosaic Law, ay meron ng tithing na practice gaya ng ginawa ni Abraham kay Melchizedek. At pagdating sa Mosaic Law at pagdating sa Bagong Tipan, naniniwala ako na may patuloy na prinsipyo ng tithing. Maitutulad natin ito sa Sabbath. So naniniwala ako na it is continuing. Kinumpar ko sa Sabbath. Sa batas ng Sabbath, may mga bagay sa Sabbath na legal and ceremonial na hindi na nagpapatuloy. This has been abrogated in Christ. When Christ died on the cross, may mga bagay ng Sabbath sa lumang tipan na hindi na tinutuloy ngayon sapagkat tinupad na, tinapos na, ginanap na ng ating Panginoong Hesukristo. Ganun din sa tithing, may mga bagay ng tithing sa lumang tipan na legal and ceremonial, and this too is abrogated in Christ. However, there is something in the Sabbath that is creational and moral and that perpetuates to the present period. So with tithing, sa tithing may mga bagay na creational, that is, it is created as a principle of life and moral and therefore presently perpetuating sa ating panahon. Nakita natin yan sa ating Panginoong Hesukristo ng kanyang sabihin bilang pagsasaway sa mga pariseo at eskriba na sila'y nagbibigay ng kanilang ikapo ng matapat at regular pero para palitan ang mas matitimbang na bahagi ng kautusan. And what Jesus said is, this you ought to have done and not to neglect the others left undone. So sa duties, justice, mercy, and faith are greater than tithing, but they fall under categories of duties. Pareho silang tungkulin, mas magaang ang pagbibigay ng ikapo. But for that very reason, if you are prepared to obey the weightier matters of the law, kung handa kang tuparin ang mas matitimbang na bahagi ng mga tungkulin, eh dapat magaan lang sa iyo ang tithing sapagkat nagagawa mo yung mas matimbang. Ang ginawa ng mga pariseo, pinagbaligtad nila. Handa nilang gawin ang magaan, pinalalampas ang matimbang. Sa atin, kung handa tayong gumawa ng matimbang, madali lang sa atin ang magaan. And then kay Pablo, kanya namang inahilintulad ang pagsuporta sa gospel ministry kung paano sinuportahan ng Levitical ministry sa lumang tipan. Sa lumang tipan, the Levitical ministry, ang mga Levites, wala silang lupain sapagkat ang kanilang aasikasuhin ay ang mga bagay na may kinalaman sa tabernakulo, sa bahay ng Diyos, sa later in Israel's history, temple. Pero both tabernacle and temple required that the Levites give themselves totally to the concern of the ministry. So wala silang lupain, saan nila kukunin ang kanilang panustos sa ikapo ng Israel. So mapupunta sa mga Levita. Now, itinahilintulad ni Pablo ang mga nagbibigay ng kanilang sarili sa ministeryo ng Ebanghelyo. Sinabi niya, mamumuhay sila dapat sa Ebanghelyo at hindi sa gawaing panglipunan. Pero paano sila masusuportahan? Eh, dyan ginamit yung salitang in the same way. In the same way of what? In the same way the Levites were supported. Ganyan niya pinaralel ang gawain ng pagsusuporta sa mga nasa ministeryo, suporta sa mga Levita, ganun magsusuporta sa mga nasa ministeryo. Kaya ang nakita natin dito, tithing is a continuing duty. It is In fact, magaang na tungkulin, pero tungkulin at dyan ipapakita kung meron tayong puso para sa ministeryo ng salita ng Diyos. Yan ang hamon sa atin. Pero itanong natin ngayon, anong pinaniniwalaan mo tungkol sa tithing? Iba pa yan doon sa paano ka nagbibigay. May apat na klase ng pagbibigay in relation to believing or not believing in tithing. So sa kaliwang hanay, ang mga belief, naniniwala ba o hindi sa tithing, sa kanang hanay, yung practice of giving. So makikita natin o limang uri. Merong naniniwala sa tithing, sa una, they believe in tithing, and yet their giving is less than tithe. Anong matatawag mo sa ganyan? Ang tawag rin ay unfaithful. Kasi may paniniwala siya, naniniwala daw siya sa tithing, pero ang bigay naman niya, less than the tithe, therefore, he is giving less than what he believes he should. And the only word you can use for that is unfaithful. Hindi siya tapat sa kanyang pinaniniwalaan. Yung ikalaw naman, naniniwala rin siya sa tithing, and ang binibigay niya ay tithe and no more. Ang matatawag natin ay minimal. Kung ano yung pinakakailangan lang ibigay, yun na, but minimal. So, believing in tithing, but giving tithe and no more. Kung ganyan ang ginagawa mo, ang matatawag sa'yo, minimal giver. Yung isa naman, hindi siya naniniwala sa tithing, pero yung bigay niya, more than the tithe. Ang tawag mo rin, liberal. Maluwag siya magbigay. Kahit hindi siya naniniwala sa tithing, he gives more than the tithe. And I know people like that. Kaya hindi ako makipagtalo sa kanila tungkol sa tithing because they practice something which we can describe as liberal giving. So, may mga ganyan akong kilala. Maluwag sila bagamat hindi naniniwala sa tithing. And then meron namang hindi naniniwala sa tithing at hindi naman nagbibigay ng tithe. Less than the tithe ang kanyang binibigay, ang matatawag natin na ay miserly. Yan ang maramot in the sense na hindi siya nagbibigay ng may kaluwagan. The best alternative ay naniniwala sa tithing and he gives more than the tithe. Now, the reason why I say that's best, better than the other liberal giver is because he believes in tithing and he believes or he gives or he practices giving more than tithe, which makes him both faithful and liberal. Dahil ginagawa niya yung kanyang pinaniniwalaan at higit pa. So, isusuriin natin ang ating sarili. Sinabi ko, hindi natin sinusuri ang mga binibigay ng mga miyembro dito. We have no monitoring structure here. We have no monitoring process, and it will remain that way. Pero, itanong mo sa iyong sarili, bilang panuri, saan ka nahanay sa limang uri na yan? Yung naniniwala sa tithing, pero hindi naman nagbibigay ng tithe? O, mas gusto ko pa yung hindi naniniwala sa tithing, pero he gives more than the tithe because that's liberal giving. But the best pa rin is to believe in tithing and yet to give more than the tithe because that makes one both faithful and liberal. So, where are you at? Saan ka sa limang alternatibo na yan sa iyong pagbibigay? Hindi natin susuriin ang laman ng iyong offering envelope o ano pa man ang iyong paraan ng pagbibigay, pero it's between you and God. Where are you in these five alternatives? So, yan ang suriin natin kung nasang bagay tayo. Now, why am I saying our giving should be beyond tithing? Not just the tithes, but our giving should be beyond tithing. Let's begin again with the Old Testament data. There were offerings in the Old Testament other than the tithe. Now, hindi ko ibibigay sa inyo yung comprehensive data dahil marami yan. Pero ang mga matututukan natin, merong giving noon na every Sabbath, like grain offering na ibinibigay sa mga bahagi noon ay para sa mga saserdote, and also the oil and bread for the priests. Dito yung makikita natin. Sabi, every Sabbath, he shall set it in order before the Lord continually. At sinabi ang oil and grain offering na yan, oil and bread offering, it is most holy to him from the offerings of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute. And this is for the priests. So, makikita natin na merong ino-offer other than the tithe, which was every Sabbath, every time na sila ay magdadako sa lugar ng panambahan, tabernakulo, later templo, meron silang handog na mga langis at tinapay na siyang tumutustos sa mga nangangasiwa sa bahay ng Panginoon. Bukod pa riyan, there was the law of gleanings. Ang papaliwanag ko itong law of gleanings, kapag anihan at ang mga nag-aani ay kinukuha na ang kanilang mga inaani, hindi maiwasan na may mga mahuhulog sa lupa. At ang bilin sa kanila, kung ano yung nahulog, huwag mo nang kunin. Pagkat para iyon sa mga dukha, yung mga walang lupain, walang maitanim. At ibig sabihin, sa kanila pa yun, theoretically, kasama pa rin yun sa kanilang pinananim at kanilang aanihin, pero nalaglag na, huwag na nilang pulutin, someone else will glean on that. Yan ang ginagawa sa gleaning, you shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. At ang nakasalalay dyan ay ang pagkilala nila sa Panginoon. Maaring sa kanila yon, pero yung gusto ng Panginoon, ang mga butil na nahulog na, kilalanin nila na bigay yun ng Panginoon, ibigay na nila sa iba. Ang prinsipyo niyan ay huwag mong angkinin ng lahat. Na kahit sa iyo yun, theoretically, and by ownership, kahit sa iyo yun, huwag mong angkinin lahat. Meron kang ipasaalang-alang para sa mga dukha. And so yung mga dukha, sila ang magiglin, sila ang mga mamumulot. Very timely ito sa pinag-aaralan natin kay Ruth. Yan ang ginawa ni Ruth na nag-glean at doon sila nagkita ni Boaz. So you have here another mindset or another consciousness of giving away. Na huwag mo angkinin ng lahat. Kung meron ng na maibibigay sa mahirap, ibigay mo. And that is beyond the tithe. And that is a very good principle to apply kahit sa atin din. Kung sa atin hindi ani, kundi sweldo, sa iyong iyo yan, pinaghirapan mo yan, sabihin mo, pinagpawisan mo, pero isaalang-alang mo yung mabibigyan at matutulungan na mga dukha. Then, besides that, there were special feasts. At yung mga special feasts na yon, meron din mga special offering during those feasts. Pero hindi na natin titingnan lahat ng feast na yon. Yung isang very applicable sa atin ay ang Feast of Pentecost. The Feast of Pentecost, also known as Feast of Weeks, happened during harvest time. At sa harvest time, ang pinagagawa sa kanila ay ihandog sa Panginoon ang bahagi ng kanilang mga inani. Ito'y bilang pasasalamat. So sinabing may iwawagayway ng pari kasama ng tinapay ng mga unang bunga. So you have wave offering, first fruits. At again, makikita nyo na ang bahagi nito ay magiging banal sa Panginoon para sa pari. And again, it is for the purpose of sustenance of the ministry of the tabernacle. Again, later on, of the temple. It was a festival of joy. There was both mandatory as well as voluntary giving. May handog na iniuutos, may handog na kusang loob na ibinibigay. Again, that is beyond the tithe. And of course, the first fruits of the harvest, yan ang offering para sa panahon ng pag-aani. And that gives significance pagdating sa Pentecost ng New Testament. Diba, dyan ibinuhos ang banal na espiritu. And the conversion that occurred on Pentecost was sort of the first fruits of the spirit baptism age ng Ebanghelyo. So yun ang halaga. At ang prinsipyo na sinasabi niya sa atin ay bilang expression ng kagalakan. Kung harvest sa kanila, siguro sa atin ay salary time or kumita ang negosyo o ano pa mang mga paraan para ikaw ay may angkinin na kasaganaan as an expression of joy and thankfulness for the Lord's blessing of harvest. So in the Old Testament, I'm saying na while the tithe was indeed a principle and law that they followed, there were other offerings more than the tithe. Kaya wag nating isiping limitado sa tithe. So pagdating natin sa New Testament, hindi katakataka na ang prinsipyo pa rin o ang diwa pa rin na pinaiiral ay gratitude and thankfulness for the blessings of God. And yan ay makikita natin sa isang pinakadidiinan na diwa na dapat umiral kapag tayo nagbibigay sa panahon na ng bagong tipan. He who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And then let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, hindi marami ang mga direct statement what God loves. Here and there, you can find scriptures that tell us what God loves. God loves a humble servant. Here is another direct statement of what God loves. God loves a cheerful giver. Now, don't imagine that God loves the gift in and of itself. What He loves is the giver who gives with cheer. May kagalakan ang kanyang puso sa pagbibigay. Kaya isipin natin, himayin natin ito. Ano itong pagbibigay na may kagalakan? What is cheerful giving? Binanggit yan, as He purposes in His heart. Therefore, one thing about cheerful giving, it is purposeful. Pinag-isipan, pinlano, as He purposes in His heart. Therefore, that means it is to be decided ahead of time. Hindi yung pag in-announce na, kukunin natin ngayon ang ikapu at handog, ano bang nasa bulsa kong, nasa pitaka ko. Hindi ganun ang cheerful giving. Ang cheerful giving, pinlano, pinag-isipan. Anong maibibigay ko sa Panginoon para sa kanyang gawain? There is an internal purpose of the heart. And if you will note, that purposeful giving is in order to mortify two opposite attitudes, two sinful attitudes in giving. One is sinawagan grudgingly or reluctance. Kaya sa cheerful giving, kung meron tayong cheerful giving, ang pinakamagandang larawan dyan ay the widow's mite. That's why it continues to be such a story that touches. Hindi yung magkano ang naibigay, but the fact of the spirit behind it, and the widow's mite continues to challenge, not so much because of the amount, but because of the spirit in it. At yan ang hamon sa atin. At ang purposeful giving will mortify grudging or reluctant giving. 72 long hours later, still the standoff continues. Ayaw pa rin magbigay, hinihintay na nung usher. Ilang oras. Yan ang grudging giving. Yung isa naman ay with compulsion, yung napipilitan. So, kung ganyan ang usher natin, must I remind you, God is watching, parang mapipilitan lang magbigay. Pero maraming ganyang pressure. I've been to churches where they have all these gimmickries that become or that serve like pressure on givers. Either pressure in terms of promised awards, rewards, or otherwise, hindi ganyan dapat ang ating pagbibigay. Hindi dahil na may angal sa puso natin o kaya ay napipilitan tayo, that should not be how we give. So, purposeful giving mortifies reluctant, grudging, as well as compelled giving. And then, next to purposeful, cheerful giving is proportioned. And then nakita natin, as God has prospered us, at meron pang isang maliwanag ng teksto ukol dyan, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. So there is to be proportion. And take note the regularity on the first day of the week, which suggests strongly at the assembly of the Christian church. By this time, the practice already was Christians gathered on the first day of the week. Kaya nung sabihin ni Pablo on the first day of the week, it is a strong suggestion na sa pagtitipon ng iglesia. And one's offering must reflect the value of his prospered substance. Kinakailangan na yung binibigay natin ay sumasalamin sa kung paano tayo pinagpala at pinasagana ng Panginoon. Which means those who are abundantly prospered must give way beyond the tithe. While those who are not as prospered must still give beyond the tithe, but maybe not as much as those who are abundantly prospered. So makikita natin dito yung merong fairness in terms of the giving. And again, examine natin ito. We will not examine this as a church, but it has to be self-examination. What did you give in terms of its proportion to how you have been blessed? So it must be proportion, then it must be liberal. Listen, he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So, ngayon, mag-ingat tayo dito. Ginagawa ito ng iba na parang commercial contract between the Lord and the giver. I give as much, you promised as much. Or double or triple. May mga gumagawa, may mga mangangaral na ganyan ang ginagawa nilang pang-akit, panghihikayat sa pagbibigay. This is not to be taken as a business formula. Beware of any crass materialism when it comes to giving. Giving is worship. Giving is a spiritual response to the blessings of the Lord. So there must be acknowledgement that we prosper only by God's blessing and that will yield generosity. Wala dapat anumang kapag nangibabaw sa atin yung lack of cheerfulness, ang karaniwang dahilan niya na ingratitude. So Christopher Estes said, where cheerful giving lacks, ingratitude dominates. Hindi pwedeng magsama ang lack of cheer in giving and then gratitude. Hindi magsasama yun. Kung grateful ka, your giving will be characterized by cheerful giving, acknowledging that the Lord has prospered us. And then there's a fourth kind, which is for a special class or a special group of Christians, and that is abundant in case of those who are richly prospered. Because there is a command. There is a clear command in the scriptures. In fact, Paul used the word command. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. And instead of being haughty, to be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. And he looks at this as a good foundation for the time to come. So yan ang kanyang sinasabi. So not to be haughty, that is consciously not to be vain, ostentatious, or status conscious. May napakagandang tingnan sa iglesia, mga tao, mga kapatid na alam mong pinagpapala sa kanilang lipunan, sa antas nila sa lipunan, pero pagdating sa iglesia, just like the rest. And I've been to churches where you know who the elite are in terms of social standing. Walang ganyan dapat sa iglesia. Yan ang ibig sabihin ni Pablo na not haughty, not trusting in riches, but rather to be rich in good works. Now, good works as used in the New Testament is not just works that are good. Good works as used in the New Testament are works that do good to others. It's always others-oriented. So yan ang itanong natin sa ating tinatangkilik kung tayo ay pinasasagana ng Panginoon. Sinong mga tao ang nagagawa mo ng mabuti mula sa iyong pagpapala na material? To be rich in good works, then ready to give, willing to share. Tingnan natin yung dalawang yan, give and share. Give is you release something that probably you do not need anymore. That's giving, and that's good. Sharing is a step further. Sharing is something useful to you, something that you could still use, that you could use for something good, but you decide to share it with someone else. So, yung dalawang yan ay magandang pagsamahin. The giving, releasing something, and the sharing. That is, let it be used together with others as you have been prospered. So the use of wealth for the mission is an investment. Sinabi ni Pablo, a good foundation. You could translate that in financial terms to be consistent, a good investment for the time to come. So can you imagine that na ito ang ginamit na salita ni Pablo para sa ating pananalapi, magagamit mo yan na parang puhunan para sa mga tao na kinakailangang humarap sa darating na panahon. So as much as you use your finances for investment in this life, and there's nothing wrong with that, How about using a part of it as investment for the time to come, that is for mission, for the gospel? Katulad yan sa isang parable ng Panginoon, the unjust steward, na ginamit niya yung kanyang galing sa pananalapi para magkaroon siya ng interes. At ang sabi ng Panginoon ay gamitin natin ang ganyang galing sa sariling interes, gamitin natin para sa pang hinaharap, pang walang hanggan. Somebody made a study in America. If only Christians were giving their tithes, just the tithes, faithfully, ito ang sinabi niya, Eric Gondwe. If members of historically Christian churches in the United States had raised their giving to the Old Testament's minimum standard of giving, 10% of income, in 2000, an additional $139 billion a year would become available assist in Christian-based mission work. Can you imagine that? $139 billion, di ba? So $139 billion a year would become available assist in Christian-based mission work. Copy and paste lang yan, kaya hindi ako nagkamali ng pag-type. So, ganyan daw ang magiging available if only all Christians gave just their tithes. What more if it is giving beyond tithing? So, giving beyond tithing is orientation to the cause of God and the mission of the church. And this year, my challenge to you, a challenge that you will only answer to God, not to me, or to anyone else, not to the church, a challenge that you will answer to God this year, be faithful in our tithes and offerings, always remembering God loves a cheerful giver. Any question? Clarifications? Testimony? Mami?
Magandang umaga po sa inyong lahat.
Magandang umaga po.
Ano po, nagagalak po ako at maliwanag na maliwanag po ngayon ang pagpapaliwanag ng tithing and offering. Kasi po, kadalasan nga hindi na ipaliwanag yan sa ibang simbahan noon. At umiimbita pa na magsasabi. Siguro nataano sa mga member na baka sabihin ay panghanap buhay lamang yon. Ngayon, nung nakakatuwa po, bago-bago ako sumisimba sa Christian Church, ay naisip ko, sabi ko doon sa kasigbay ko na pamangkin ko naman, ay tayo magbibigay. Huwag ka na magbigay, sasakupin na lamang kita. Hindi ko alam yung mga tithing na ganon. Kaya nakakatuwa nga po at ang naisip ko noon, ano ngayon ang susweldohin o paano kumakain ang pastor? Ay samantalang ayan nga at laging nadyan na lang. Paano yung kanyang mga anak at kanyang mahal, yung mga pagpapakain, saan yun kukunin? Yun ay naging puzzle sa akin. Kaya sabi ko, paano kaya yun? Ngayon, nagginawa nung pastor sa isang Sunday school, Bible study, medyo nagbukla tungkol dun sa mga tithing noong unang-unang panahon. Yun sa Old Testament. Ayun na nga po, mga bunga, first fruit, magaganda, yung wala kasiraan. Kailangan na yun ng itatites, parang ganun. Para ipapakain doon sa mga Levites. Dahan-dahan kong natutuknasan yun, lumapat ito ng mga anak ko po. Salamat sa Panginoon, pinupuri ko siya, at siya ang nakakapagpaliwanag ng maayos. Kaya talaga pong mabuti, ang pinakamatatawa akong karanasan ko, ay yung aking sinasakop, tinatanong ko, ayun pala ikaw ko ay 10%. Magkano ba ang buong masweldo? Kwintahin mo, bibigyan kita nun. Tapos yun sa akin, kinukwenta ko rin. At yun na binibigay ko. Ganun po ang alam ko nung una.
Salamat
okay,
po.
Salamat po.
Huwag nating sakupin yung tithe ng kapatid natin dahil siyang may responsibilidad na magbigay nun nang galing sa kanya. At karaniwang ginagawa rin ng ibang mga pastor at karaniwang tinatanggihan ko na mag-anyaya ng iba para magsalita sa iglesia nila ng tungkol sa offering. At sinasabi ko sa kanila, kung hindi mo yan maiharap sa iyong iglesia, nang ikaw ang haharap, huwag mo akong paharapin. Pero karaniwang practice yan. Hindi nila maipangaral ang tuwiran dahil parang nahihiya sila. Mag-aanyaya ng magsasalita tungkol doon. And I regularly decline such invitations.
Mag-comment lang ako, Pastor, doon sa application sa buhay ng simbahan at saka mga manggagawa ng simbahan. So I have two real sa buhay ng dalawang pastor na nakilala ko. One was a professor na iniwan niya yung kanyang position sa UPLB. And then, yung congregation naman, kung tutuusin, kayang-kaya nilang i-provide yung sweldo na karampot na naibigay. But the pastor was really serious in his calling. So kahit lumiit yung kanyang kita, nagpastor pa rin siya. There came a time na nangailangan yung pastor na talagang need ng family, na kung naiwan lang siya sa UPLB, posibleng natingnan yung kanyang pamilya during ng crisis ng kanilang asthma doon sa maayos na hospital na health service or even PGH. But then, dumating ang punto na sa bae pa na ipasok yung anak. And when I went there, yung bae na hospital, it's really worse. So sabi ko na lang noon, ganun ba talaga kami ang isang church na hindi niya makita yung need ng pastor at sa kanyang family, na kahit kita nila ang pagsusumikap ng pastor na maitaguyod ang preaching, pero yung pagbalik naman, hindi pala ganun sensitive ang church para maiprovide yung need. Parang naandun lang sila sa maibigay ang tungkulin na dapat sweldo ng isang pastor. And then the second case naman, yung church na napaka-cheerful naman nila, they gave their pastor a house, tapos yung kanyang mga ibang needs. At ang hindi ko malimutan na sinabi nung pastor's wife is, ang lahat ng mga anak ko nakapag-aral, not out of yung salary ng pastor, but that some of the members, ayaw niyang sabihin ng mga pangalan, they just gave with all their heart, eto pang tuition, pang college ng anak mo. So parang it made the wife so humble na parang diretsong galing sa Panginoon yung pagpapaaral sa mga anak niya.
Well, thank you, G. That's two striking contrast ng attitude ng church pagdating sa providing for the one who is in the ministry. At tandaan natin ang connection niyan, Galatians 6 verse 6. One who is taught the word must share. At yung salita uli na share. Share all good things with the one who teaches. And that is a basic test of our commitment to the ministry of the word, our willingness to share in material things. May attitude kung minsan na nagpastor yan, sacrifice yan. So siguruhin natin nagsasacrifice. It is true na when you commit yourself to the ministry, you make that decision. If outside the ministry, I could be this in my career, but then I choose the ministry because God called me there. And there is a dimension that is material sacrifice. But on the other hand, ang nangyayari doon, the pastor casts himself upon the church, upon the concern and sensitivity of the church. And where such sensitivity is absent, then that's part of the pastor's commitment. And where that sensitivity is present, then there is gladness, mutuality of joy between pastor and people. Kaya yung dalawang contrast na yan, I have seen that in churches. Questions or thoughts? Oh, Josiah.
Pastor, naalala ko lang yung kwento dun sa Acts tungkol kay Ananias and Sapphira ba yun? Medyo naguguluhan na ako doon kasi parang they were punished with death because they pledged. Is it because they pledged something and did not completely follow through with it, or because below parang hindi lang sila yung wala lang yung sa tamang spirit of giving? And yung sunod kong question, dun sa parang last part dito sa handout, sinabi dito na yung ready to give and willing to share. What if, like, nagkaroon biglaan ng national tragedy, like yung dun sa Yolanda, and instead of parang yung itatights mo sana, biligay mo na lang directly for those who would, those who will use it for Ministry of Benevolence or something, will that count as a separate tithe, or pwede i-consider na rin yun as part of the charity work for ministry?
Okay, thank you, Josiah. Sagutin ko muna yung kay Ananias and Sapphira kasi diretsahan ng paliwanag ni Peter bakit nagkaroon ng ganung aftermath. Nagbigay sila, they kept back si Ananias for himself some of the proceeds, which is against what he pledged, and then laid it at the apostles' feet. Etong sabi ni Peter sa kanya, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? So in other words, hindi ito inaangkin o kinakamkam ni Peter. Habang nasa kanya, kanya yun. At nung maipagbili na, kanya pa rin yun. But ang ginawa niya, nag-pledge siya sa Panginoon, sa banal na Espiritu, at pagkatapos, kasinungalingan ang iniharap niya. So that was the aftermath. At huwag kayong mag-alala, walang mangyayaring ganyan. ang punto roon ay the gravity of lying to the Holy Spirit. Kaya nga, ang lagi ko sinasabi, between you and God. And you cannot lie to God when it comes to our giving. Now, as to the tithe na gagamitin mo para sa isang tragedy, katulad rin yan ang sinasabi natin sa Sabbath, there are abnormal Sabbaths that you have to spend outside the church instead of the normal way na sa church. Emergency, mercy, necessity, so you spend your Sabbath somewhere else, but because of the abnormal necessity. Ganon din sa tithe, may mga panahon na bigla kang may pangangailangan o may biglang pangangailangan na doon mo magagamit. Hindi natin mahigpit na inaangkin na basta tithe sa iglesia. I don't hold that view. But regularly, normally, just as the Sabbath should be in the church, so normally and regularly, the tithe should be given for the ministry of the church, except necessities and works of mercy. Other thoughts?
Pastor, yung tithes ay may clear formula doon at temp talaga. How about yung offering? Meron bang formula doon? Anong pinaka-wise or what I mean?
Ang binigay na as prospered. So may certain proportion pa rin, but it will differ between if you are rich, those who are rich in this world, in this age. Maliliwanag yung mas meron silang pananagutan, mas meron silang maibibigay. For example, let's say the wealthy will give, beyond the tithe, will give 20-30% more. It will not even make a dent on his wherewithal. Whereas yung poor, he can give beyond the tithe by 5% more, pero masakit na. Pero he's still maluwag, still giving beyond the tithe. But the rich, whose wealth will not be dented by more giving, should give more. Pero again, not that we are going to monitor it. It's between you and God. Mayela.
Pastor, halimbawa, may isang cheerful giver. Ang pattern niya ay ibibigay niya ang kanyang tithes and offering, including the tithes in kind. At nagdidesisyon na siya kung paano niya ito gagamitin sa kanyang sarili. But I want to give a scenario na parang ganito yung nangyayari. For example, nagdesisyon siya, nabibili siya ng ref para sa church. Tapos, halimbawa, yung pastor at yung family niya nakatira sa church. So parang maganda naman yung inisip niya na para may ref yung family ng pastor. Pero ang hindi niya alam, dahil nagdesisyon sa sarili niya, walang maipunong sweldo yung church sa pastor dahil yung palang rep na binigay niya ay tithes niya pala na pang dalawang buwan o pang tatlong buwan. So, nasushort yung basic budget. Tapos kung habitual yun, pastor, is it tama ba na ang tithes ay didesisyon na ng miyembro kung paano niya gagastusin? Or may limitation ba na yung offering na lang ang para mas maging wise lang kami sa mga ganon?
So, good question. When it comes to giving in kind, mas applicable yun sa mga probinsya na nagtatanim, umaani ng talagang mga pananim nila at binibigay yung ikasampung bahagi nun sa gawain ng iglesia. It's more applicable sa mga ganong bagay. But in places like ours where it is really money that makes us operate things, it's still best to give in monetary value ng ating tithes and offering. Now, kung naisip niyang ibilis sa isang bagay, the best thing is consult the deacons. Dahil ang deacons ang mas makakaalam ng pangangailangang material ng iglesia. So, you don't need to consult the pastor dahil baka sabihin niya, o mahiya na naman siya, huwag ng ref, iPad na lang. So, but it's best to consult the deacons. Odi.
Pastor, nung Old Testament ba, namomonitor ba ng mga Levites yung giving ng Israelites? At kung ano, may sanctions ba na binibigay doon sa mga hindi nagbibigay ng tithes?
Well, there's no record of actual sanction done by the administration of Israel for failure to give the tithes, but there are clear rebukes by God of the failure of the Israelites. Malachi 3:8, can a man rob God? And then he says, you rob me by not giving your tithes, which shows that God knows and it is answerable to God. But yung talagang na monitor sa Israel, there's no such thing. Ben.
Pastor, clarification lang po. For the case na meron kang tithes, meron kang expenses, and then yung natira ay almost zero or wala na. And then biglang may emergency na kailangan paggastusan, abnormal circumstance yon na pwede mong magamit yung tithes for that emergency expense. Pero for the case na may tithe ka, may expenses, and then meron ka pang natira, kung sakaling may makita kang pangangailangan, biglang dumating, so hindi mo siya pwedeng ibawas sa tithes. It will be counted as offering po.
Again, I will not be legalistic na hindi mo matatouch yung tithes basta naibukod mo na. I am more of the attitude that is cheerfully giving the tithes. Kaya yung cheerful na attitude na ganun ay hindi na siya mag-iisipan ng panghihinayang kung hindi ko na ibigay yung buo, may panggastos pa ako dito. Matthew chapter 6, what your right hand gives, let your left hand forget. So ang point ay if you feel na part ng iyong tithe ay talagang maibibigay sa pangangailangan, then do it with a clear conscience. Pero kung talagang you cheerfully give it to the work of the ministry, then forget about it. John.
In relation po sa isang question last week, if a couple, husband and wife, decide na they keep one account for both of them and they draw their tithes from that single account, is it really necessary that when they receive their share of allowances, they also must give their tithes from that portion?
Okay, ulit, nagkaroon sila ng joint account?
Para pong, not really a joint account, pero they just keep one pool of money from, say, their separate salaries, and then yung from that same pool, yun din doon sila nagbibigay na sila ng one of them gives the tithes from that same pool. If they then portion their allowances from that same pool of money, then is it really necessary that they also give tithes from their allowances?
If both are having income and they join their income together, and out of that joint income they take the tithe as 10%, then that's the tithe of the couple. But if separate, then each must give their tithe. And it will also amount to the same thing. The 10% of the joint income is the same amount ng 10% of separate incomes. Ano pa? Well, makikita natin mamaya sa mga miyembro na dadalo sa ating annual meeting, the Lord has blessed us despite the bigness of need, the Lord has sustained us, and we should be grateful for all the blessings of the Lord. At sana doon makita natin that we had being blessed, let us respond with gratitude, with thankfulness, and let the year 2014 be a year for us of cheerful giving. And cheerful giving, I am convinced, is one that will give beyond tithing. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, nagpapasalamat kami sa iyong kahabagan, sa iyong kasaganaan ng pagpapala sa amin, at nawa sa pagkilala namin na ito ay nangagaling sa maluwag mong kamay, kami ay tumanggap nito ng may pagpapasalamat, pagkilala sa iyong pagpapala. At kung ganito ang aming pagtanggap sa aming mga tinatangkilik, ay tutumbasan namin ito ng maluwag sa espiritu namin at pagbibigay. Pagbibigay na may kagalakan. At ang pagbibigay na may kagalakan ay pagbibigay ng higit sa aming tungkulin ng ikapu, kundi magbibigay kami ayon sa pagpapala mo sa amin. O, maging hamon ito sa bawat isa. Huwag kaming maging maramot sa aming pagbibigay sapagkat hindi ka maramot sa iyong pagpapala. Kaya't nawa ang taong 2014 ay maging saksi ng iglesyang ito sa maluwag at may kagalakan na pagbibigay at aming gamitin ang aming mga natitipong, mga ikapu at handog sa ikasusulong ng iyong kaharian at sa ikabubunga ng mensahe ng iyong salita. Sumaamin ka sa buong taong ito at nawa lahat ay matustusan para sa iyong ikaluluwalhati. Sa pangalan ng Panginoong Hesukristo, ito ang aming panalangin. Amen.